And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua and chapter 1. Joshua and chapter 1, and perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. God, here we are again, your day again, your time for you to get to us. And God, thank you for your plan. Thank you for the way you do things. Thank you that we can be part of it and benefit thereby. Not only here and now, but there and then. And our God will thank you very much. So help us, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise, as we're looking at Joshua in particular at this point, we are seeking to be reminded and refreshed. Remember all the basic little truths, that which they understood Israel did to have during the days of Joshua, to have such success, And they did. A marvelous time. And we're trying to remind ourselves how they did it and why they did it, so that we, way ahead of them, can be encouraged and motivated to go forward. And so God gives us his word. Remember in yesterday, going way back, there was no Bible. It was just God. And God communicated. Adam and Eve, etc., etc., etc. And God communicated. He then went when Israel refused to hear any more of God speaking, Deuteronomy chapter 5. God then used the prophets. And the prophets spoke. And we have all of that. Now, and that's the Bible. So when we come to our Lord is the Word, John 1:1. He is the Word become flesh, God becoming flesh. And we try to remind ourselves of that this morning, that God, always God, God, every way and every way, any way you want to look at it, it's always God in his fullness, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's no way to get part of God. You get all. God is one entity, not 10 of them, not 3 of them. He's just one. And we need to understand that. So when we receive him as our Savior, we received God in Christ in an awesome way. And that's the test. The test to test the false prophets, to test all the stuff that isn't of God. God has given us his word. And his word, he is the word. And the word was crucified, and God has then given us his word in a very New Testament way, in order to what? To capitalize on the Old Testament and the New Testament, to be able to take what God has given, and given that Bible, you know, John 5:39 and all that. God, if you want to read Genesis to Revelation, God said, it's all about me. It's my way to talk to you, my way to help you understand who I am. So you take my word, and I'm here always present. I give you my word to listen to me and understand me. And we communicate. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Got to go to his word, that little bit. Now, Joshua and chapter 1, as we share together, are in chapter 1. And we shared in verse 7, "Be thou only strong and very courageous." Why? "That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left." Don't go. Stay straight on course. Don't deviate. Don't try to go off course. People say all kinds of things, and we tend to drift over here to listen to that, to hear this, to hear that, and we get off course. Stay on course. Listen, take my word, stay with my word all the way down the corridor of time. Stay with my word. And don't deviate. That's obvious. We just reminded ourselves, because the word represents God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the word become flesh. That's why you can't go anywhere else. That's why there is no one else. That's why you don't go to the left and you don't go to the right. You stay on course, because there is no other. He alone is the way. He is the word. He gives us his word. Now, having said that, verse 7, and then we had the motivation, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest, that you may prosper as you go down the corridor of time, walking straight, looking to God, the motivation that thou mayest prosper, cause thyself, make thyself to prosper. And the word prosper is to be marked by sound, practical judgment, to be successful. You'll see it at the end of verse 8, at the verb, at the end, chapter 1, verse 8. When you go to the end of verse 8, thou shalt have good success. That's the same as the word in verse 8, verse 7, that thou mayest prosper, to have good success, to be able to understand and to be able to manage wisely. And we shared together. We went back to Eve, the word wise, wisely. And Eve said, "Boy, if we take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we'll be able to become wise." Wise. Well, wise. That's what they wanted, Adam and Eve. And they did. But they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they became unwise. And humanity ever since has left God out of the picture in seeking to be wise, calling evil good, Ephesians 5, Isaiah 5:20, calling evil good and good evil, going down the corridor of time. We turn it all upside down. So what? As we go down, we're able to go, like in Romans and all of that that we did, and verse chapter 1 and verse 22, whatever, and professing themselves to become wise, they became fools. They knew God and chose not to know him. And thus, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we did all of that so you could see it. That's the world we live in. We try to understand. We are religious. We are everything. We do what we do, and we write, and we read, and we think, and we're somebody. And actually, that has drifted in these days. Yesterday, that was very prominent, to think and do that. Today, it isn't so much. Why not? Because the electronic world thinks for us. Years ago, they had to think when they built, when they did everything. Now we just push the button and get anything and everything we need, and we get it. We get how to spell, we get how to write, we get how to think, That's what they're doing on, working on now with AI, how to think, etc. Now, so having said that, to prosper, to have good success, and the world leaves God out of the picture. David did not leave God out of the picture, as we shared in 1 Samuel 18, and he practiced Deuteronomy chapter 28, the blessing of God, if you honor my word, remember, honor my word, and I will honor you as you honor my word. And God will go and do what he does in his most wonderful way, and God will go and do and work out everything. If you honor my word, then you know in chapter 28, verse 6 of Deuteronomy, what do you know? When I'll bless you, all the blessings, I'll bless your going out. I love it. I'll bless your going out. I'll bless your going in. I'll bless your life. Just breathe and trust me. Whatever you do, and I'll be your God. Now, that was David. And David practiced that. And David was blessed, as we read in 1 Samuel 18. And David was considered wise, prosperous. David was a success. And what he did was successful. What he did. He was looking to God. And God said, motivated, if you go and look to me, then look to me, you'll understand. Now, having said the wisdom, let's lock that in again. Over to 1 Corinthians, as you would know, but put it together so that you're locking in God's wonderful presence and God's wonderful way of doing what he does. So here, 1 Corinthians, and if I can, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, going directly in the light of the context, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 29, no flesh shall glory in my presence. On the contrary, but of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God is going to be to you in Christ all that is missing because of sin. And you've got an old nature. God is going to be in this body. God is going to help us understand that he's going to be our life. And that includes everything that goes with life. And that one of those things is to act wisely and to be successful. So therefore, having that in mind, go over, if you can, to Colossians and remind yourself, Christ is to us all that we need. We sing the hymn, he is all we need. And that is literally all we need. He is your life. Colossians, and in Colossians chapter 2, and in verse, sliding down, and we did it, just picking up the thought. I'll have to read verse 2 for a little bit, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Christ, who's made unto you in wisdom. Now what? Chapter 1, as you know, verse 9, Colossians 1, 9. Here's the prayer. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire, what? That you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will, to understand God's wonderful will and way in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you'll understand, you'll be wise. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right, stay on course, motivation, and you will prosper. You're going to be in the place to understand and act wisely. You're going to be successful. You can't trust God and do this without coming out. You have to come be successful. That's what you have to be. And therefore, our God, in his most wonderful way, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life all the way, in the way, all the way, to the very end, on the top and bottom. And therefore, Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to help us prosper. As you would remember, but how is that going to be? How does the Spirit of God do that for us in his most wonderful, wonderful way? And to remind yourself of 100,000 ways, here's one of them. Romans chapter 8, and going to verse 26, familiar? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our shortcomings. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God is to outwork his wonderful will in our life as we abide and go down the corridor of time. We don't go to the left. We don't go to the right. We stay on course right down. And therefore, you're going to have good success. Why am I going to have good success? I don't know. We just prayed Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Christ is always wisdom, and we want to pray a knowledge of God's will in all wisdom. Where's the wisdom? In God, in Christ, in me, in you. Now, verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to what we wish and want? No. According to the will of God. That's what he does. And the Spirit of God is to outwork the will of God in your life. That's what his job is. To outwork the will of God in your life as you go down the corridor of time. And Christ brings to us all that is needed. So the Spirit of God, taking the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who provides us with life, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to outwork God's wonderful will. As we don't go to the left and we don't go to the right, we stay on course, and God's going to work it out. I'm not going to work it out, and you're not going to work it out. God's going to work it out. God has to work it out. I couldn't possibly do it. And consider it. Now, having said that, and considering that in the light of that, back over to, if I can, to the book of Joshua. And in Joshua, if I can, again, find it. And we're going to look Joshua chapter 1 and going, if I may, sliding. Now, we did verse 7, and we're just reminding ourselves. Then verse 7 leads us to verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Let it go to the left. Don't go to the right. Don't lose it. Keep the book up front and keep the God's word up front and center. How are you going to understand God? By way of his word. I want to look to God. I want God to encourage, to strengthen us, to give us understanding. I need to have the word of God to have that happen. So don't lose the word of God. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So now, here in chapter 1 and in verse 8, you'll notice we're going to have the word of God, and the word of God we're going to go and meditate. Don't, but meditate therein day and night. So we're going to meditate. The word meditate means to low murmur, thinking about things, muttering about things, to utter low mutters, murmuring of the heart, to meditate, to think, to consider, to weigh in silence, to weigh, think quietly in your heart, thinking, weighing in my heart. What are we going to do? I have the Word of God, and we're going to go and look to the Word of God, and we're trying to understand it now that we can think about it. Now, we used to have years ago, you remember we did all these different things, and they all disappear like everything else. And in the process, we had a whole different ones of these little sheets like this, rejoice in the Lord, and they have a pile, and you take one. And what they are is a whole bunch of verses. And we shared together, for some of us that remember, and we remember what? What to do is take somewhere, meditate, think, let God's word chew. You have to chew the food and let it mix with saliva and go down. You let your food get ready to be digested. You don't just swallow everything. You're supposed to chew it. So why? You prepare it for digestion. That's what you do. So God, what are you telling us? He meditate. And so you take a word like this. Here's the first one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23:1. And so when I'm going to the drinking fountain at work or school, I'm at home somewhere, and I'm going to take that verse for the day. Take that verse for the day. I'm going to think about it. Every time I do something, when I get a break, I have to do all things and concentrate on what I'm doing. And then I get a little break, and I go and think. The Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd. I must be a sheep. And you think about it, and you meditate upon it. So the Psalm 23:1 becomes big in your heart. You chew it, and it becomes part of you. That's how you learn the word. That's what he's saying. Meditate. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, to think, weigh in silence, and do that. Now, to catch that, just before we get into that word, go over with me just to see it. We're coming back here. Over to Hebrews. Now remember, as you would know, Hebrews in chapter 4. Remember the book of Hebrews that we did? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, and you will recall. And remember we read it? I'll read it. Verse 1. Chapter 4, Hebrews. Verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, not ours, any of you should seem to come short of it, miss the mark, you never get there. For unto us, verse 2, was the good news, the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. It didn't bring them success. Why not? Because it was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They had the word, but they weren't believing it. They weren't meditating. They weren't locking it in. and therefore it didn't do them any good. And remember, we shared together when we did that. Just think of the animals, the cows, different things that chew and eat, and then they go sit under the tree and just chew and digest. They keep pulling it up from their stomach, with whatever they got down there, and they keep pulling it up and chew it, digest it. They digest it, got to digest all that grass. Wow. I wonder if Nebuchadnezzar had to do that. He was 7 years out in the field. I wonder how Nebuchadnezzar did, because he ate that stuff. I don't think he had a stomach change. He had a, anyway. Now, so, and remember to rest. All of that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. Genesis chapter 2, on the seventh day, God rested. He was finished. So that everything that had to happen needed to be set in motion. And God was finished. And therefore, he rested. So what are we doing? We're resting in God's rest. We're resting in God's wonderful rest. That's what we're doing. Meditating on God's word. That's God's word is given to be outworked. He isn't rewriting it. He isn't rewriting Hebrews 4. He isn't doing that. It's given so that the generation yesterday could read it, we can read it, and the generation tomorrow could read it. Same thing. God's given us his word to know God in a very personal, wonderful way. And therefore, we go and look to God. And so God is outworking his will in our life. And you remember now, sliding down into verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, God's rest, he also, the believing heart, hath also ceased, stopped, finished, terminated from his own works as God did from his. It isn't our works, it's his wonderful grace, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his grace. And God said, I've got it all finished. That's why we shared of 100 times in Ephesians 2:10. When you get saved, we are his workmanship created in God's wonderful grace to see the outworking of God's wonderful plan for your life that God had in mind. And therefore, what are we doing, God? You rested on the seventh day that all of God's will for your life could take place. He finished it back then. So all you had to do is be born on planet Earth and God would work it out for you. That's it. It's a finished thing. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, yeah, it is. It is. And you just said, God. So now, hanging on to that, back over, if we can, on your way back, Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1. And if we can. And remember now, we're looking at God's word, and God has to help us. So now, here we are going, Psalm number 1. We're looking at the little word meditate, to utter low, to murmur, to think, to weigh in silence God's word. Just to be thinking, not even saying anything, just thinking about it, trying to digest it, to understand it better. Now, so therefore, Psalm number 1, pointing us to all the Psalms, our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect one to fit Psalm number 1, so that we all can join it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but standeth in the way of sinners. nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he, but dear friends, he meditates day and night. That's right. Meditate to have good success. Meditate. Lock it in. Lock in your understanding so that you're really relaxed with what you know. Because, now, not because someone said something, because God said it, and you try to understand it, and every time you understand it, you have to learn it again, and you learn it again. And that's why we read and reread and learn and relearn, and we unlearn to relearn to grow again. And that's how you learn. That's how you learn. Someone says, well, then you learned it. No, I'm in the process of learning it over and over and over again, over the word, letting it mull itself over and putting pieces together, let them all keep developing. Yeah, meditate, meditate. And that's the delight in the law of the Lord, and in the law, his law, doth he meditate day and night. And while you're there looking, remember now what, without turning back, well, hold your finger here and go back so you know how to connect it. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1 and in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest prosper to do according to all that is written. For motivation, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, prosperous. And the word prosperous there is to move forward, to move, to go forward, to move forward, to down the road. You're moving, like a runner. The gun shoots off, and it's time to run. Down the road, you're moving. That's the word prosperous, to be moving, to go forward. That's what you're doing. And what are you, I'll read it now, verse 8. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Thou shalt be moving right around, being motivated, moved in the right way. You're actually moving. Then thou shalt have good success. Like the end of verse, chapter 7, verse prosper, the word prosper. So, what are you telling us, God? Over in Psalm number 1, we need to meditate. And here's the word that you just looked at in Joshua 1:8, to prosper. I'll read it now, chapter 1 and verse 3. Psalm 1:3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's your word, to prosper, to go forward. You're moving forward in the right way. Running the race before you. You're moving forward, looking to God as you go forward, and it's going to prosper. You're going to prosper. That's what you're going to do. You're going to have good success. You're motivated to move. You meditated, and you're letting it digest. That gives you the energy, the motive energy to go forward. And you're moving forward, and you're going to have good success. That's what you're going to do. But you have to be motivated. You have to eat. If you don't eat, you'll starve. You won't be healthy, and you won't be encouraged to do very much if you're very, very hungry and thirsty and get emaciated, etc. You won't be very good. No, you need to get healthy, wealthy, and wise by way of God's word. So, and therefore, like a tree. So God, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have. Now, in order to take that a little further, go with me over, if you would, over to, well, hold your finger in Psalms, over to Isaiah chapter 55. And in Isaiah chapter 55, And you'll remember, God's ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens. So therefore, all we can do is read and understand as best we can that which he has written and that which he has given in his word. So therefore, Isaiah 55, verse 8, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For, reason, if as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, it doesn't go back up, it goes down, falls to the ground, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth fruit, bud, and bring forth seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Now, having given that illustration of outside the weather, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. There's your little word, to go forward, to prosper again. You'll have good success. Where? My word. Follow my word. Meditate. Don't go to the left or right. Let it stick. Stay in your mind in the right way and lock it in. And thus, my word, like John 6 and that, my word, the words that I speak unto you, they are full of life and spirit. That's why you read them and let them develop. So digest them. And thus in 55, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It's going to be successful. If I gave my word and I want it done, it's going to be. It's going to be. So back over, if I can, to Psalms. And go over to Psalm 46 and pick up the idea of letting thy word get locked in to our little old head and our heart. Now, so God, here we are looking, and in the process, in Psalm 46, and you know the wonderful psalm, God is our refuge, verse 1, and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. That's pretty drastic. Everything disappears that you're looking at, and the ground opens up from underneath you. And God said all of that could happen, but we're safe. We're safe as can be. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Now, sliding over, and we come as we did, sliding down, in verse 9. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear and sunder and sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still, and know. Stand in awe. Be quiet. Silent, cease, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord's host is with you, with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So God, be still, and know we have a healthy fear of God, have a fear of God. And therefore, as we did all that, his little word, be still. Be still, be silent, cease. And when we did look it up one time, we did it to see it, how it comes together. And God says to us, God said that I am God. You don't be fearing God wrongly. Don't be fearing God wrongly. We do not need and we do not need to help God. God doesn't need any help. And when it seems that God doesn't know and God doesn't do, he does. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be thinking God doesn't care. Don't do that. God may not. He may not do what you want, when you want, the way you want it. But God is on top of it, and his thoughts and his ways are higher than the heavens. And so therefore, you'll wait upon God and be still and know that he's God as he works his wonderful will in your life. Now, having said that little bit, in Psalm 37, I'm just taking little thoughts to add to this. I know we're drifting just a little, but not much. But always in the same, we're building. Psalm 37, a wonderful psalm. And don't be fretting, fuming, fussing about because of evildoers, because the people at work, the people at school, the people in your neighborhood, your family, your friends, your enemy. Don't get all upset about all that stuff. Don't be doing that. Don't get caught up in that. No, on the contrary. On the contrary, what are you going to do? You're going to go and trust was sliding down. Well, I don't believe that. Is that true? My watch must have broke. No? I don't believe that. Wow. All right. Slide down. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In other words, the bad guys keep seeming to be winning. Therefore, don't be still. Be still and know. And God says, rest in the Lord. Be still and know. And you don't have to do it. But if you went and looked at the book of Exodus, and you looked in the book of Exodus chapter 15, and God uses the word about God's wonderful working, and the word there, be still. Be still as a stone. As a stone. That's this word you're looking at. Rest. Be silent. Cease. Trust me. Be still as a stone. Not shaking, not jittering, not what? No. Be still as a stone and wait on me. That's good. Be still as a stone. Now, and that's what God says. And therefore, in God's wonderful way, and therefore, over if you would turn the page, not turn the page, stay in Psalm 37, and just to pick it up, verse 23, Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor received baking bread. He is ever, ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Now God, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And so meditating. You know, I have a little picture on one of my little things on my wall somewhere, of the chess game being played, and the young man is there looking, and here's the bad guy on the other side of the picture, and the bad guy thinks he's got me in the picture. And the man is looking, and the boy, Larry Larson had it years ago. Big picture. Anyway, I got another kind of, anyway, same thing. Anyway, here's the man looking. What do I do, God? And the angel's pointing down over his shoulder. Make this move. Do this, and you'll win. You'll overcome the enemy. Do this. Now, Now you know it's the football season and all of that. Now how do they play the game? They go out there and the quarterback has something taped in his eye. I wonder what happens if we took that off his arm, the quarterback took it off his arm, you know. What would he do? He has it, flipping it open, and then he has his helmet, and there's who knows how many guys on the other side are trying to tell him what to do, what to do, what to do. And here's the sign. Now, what are you doing, Mr. Quarterback? I'm looking to meditate. I want to know the next thing to do in the play. What play do I call to play the game, to win? What do I do? Illustration. Yep. God's wonderful, wonderful grace to help us in every way. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to go and look to you. Now, how are we going to go and look to you? Like the branch to the tree. Abide. And the life of God flows. The life of the tree flows in the branch. The branch does nothing but abide. And the tree does what it does. And the believing heart, abiding like the branch in Christ, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to make it work. That's what his job is. And what do? We say, thank you. Be still and know that I am God. Quiet and wait on me. God says, I know what I'm doing. Here we are in his presence. That's what I was trying to drive home, because it's very rare that believers, us kind of believers, it's very rare for believers to understand that we're always in the presence of God. Out here and in here. God. Not Jesus and God somewhere out there. No, no. We're smack dab in the middle. We have the Father and the Son, and the Father has us in Christ, in himself. God the Father, God the Son, and in the middle of God the Son is you guys. Right smack in the middle. Where are you? Right in the middle. Wow, I gotta quit. Thank you for all of that. Our Father in God, we look to you, set apart all the little bit we did, that we might understand, to meditate, to digest, God, thy word, not just to hear it. We don't want to just hear it. We want to digest it. And we don't want to swallow it, God, and have it pass through our system. No, we want to, you say it, you send it to the churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So God, you've given us the word, you've given us yourself, Spirit of God, to help us understand. And we thank you very much. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.